All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Moss Radio on mossradio.com. We are your local online community radio, prioritizing and practicing engagement with each other, listeners, participants, and communities. My name is DJ Croak, and today I have a guest with me. If you want to introduce yourself quickly before I give the rest of the intro.
Yeah, for sure. Hello, my name is Magnus. 25-year-old human being living in Bushwick, Brooklyn currently from Pound Ridge, New York.
Where is that?
Northern Westchester.
Okay.
But
yeah, I know where
yeah,
that is.
It's not too far. People say upstate, but I'm like,
if you're one of those people that are about to be like, that's downstate.
I'm not going to say it's downstate, but New York's fucking big, dude. You can drive 8 hours north and you'll still be in New York.
My friend who went to SUNY Potsdam is always telling us, like, y'all don't even know upstate until you've been 30 minutes
no,
from the border.
No, but he has a point. Yeah. He has a point. It is, it's, I went to school at Colgate, which is in Hamilton, New York. It's like 4 hours north of here. Yeah. And it's different, you know? All of a sudden, the Confederate flags start coming out, and, you know.
And there you are.
I don't know what changes.
Wait, so you're, how long have you been in Brooklyn?
I've been in Brooklyn for like a year and a half now. I've been in the city for like 2.5 years. I live with my friend Ben. Shout out Ben. What up, Ben?
Shout out to Ben.
Ben's Hello, going Ben. To Maine tomorrow.
And we're all excited for Ben's journey.
Yes. yeah, I re-signed my lease in March, and it's been good. I love my neighborhood. Shout out Fazio's, best Sicilian pizza I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Shout out the Filthy Diamonds, local watering hole. Always Puerto Rican music playing on my block. The guys are just playing dominoes, listening to music and working on their bikes and their cars. And it's, yeah, it's a beautiful neighborhood. I love it.
Let me let the people know this is happening right now. Live now.
I gotta spread the word, bro.
I know.
Wait, do you want me to refer to you?
I'm DJ Croak.
You're DJ Croak.
Both for the frog and the imminent sense of mortality.
DJ Croak.
but on that note, you can... Also, if you're listening to this right now, just know that Moss Radio streams at select hours, changing every week. And you can find our programming and exact hours on the schedule page of our website. Usually, the weekly schedule gets updated around Saturday or Sunday. It will be done by today for the next week, I will say. And you can always feel free to contact us through mossradio@proton.me by email. Again, that is mossradio@proton.me. Or at Moss Radio NYC on Instagram. You can also text us at 917-809-4084 once I open up the landline. Yeah, that is 917-809-4084. Or if you have any questions, comments, ideas, thoughts that rise up during this broadcast, you can always share them in our chat on the website using the chat icon. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Poetry with Magnus, specifically Magnus John Mati Vogel.
Yeah.
There you go. And yeah, I'm going to let you take it away for a reading before we get into a discussion about it.
Sounds good.
So here you go.
All right. I'm going to read. First thing, this is something I wrote last night. I was in Midtown East, walking down to Murray Hill.
The place of inspiration.
it creeps up on you everywhere. So just, yeah, be accepting of inspiration. It'll find you. But yeah, okay. This doesn't really have a title at the moment, but who gives a shit? Scaffolding is an act of devotion. A love letter. A preservation, almost sacred, whether intentional or not. It reads, I see you. Let me lend you my hand as we traverse these times of change. Let me hold this towel around you as you change into something else. You change like a myriad of trees in autumn. Like trees, like all things, we change. Scaffolding is an act of defiance in the face of stubbornness, an act of protest in the faces of ignorant reluctance. It is a comforting stroke of the arm that shivers on a rotating sphere. Scaffolding is my reminder that this city, everything we touch, is an extension of our humanity, impermanent and perfect, and trying, full of faults and faultlessness.
Wow. I really like that.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Should we talk about each one and then, or do you want to read all and then go?
No, let's, I like, yeah.
Talk about
yeah,
it. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Because I was going to say my memory ain't that good. No. Dude, were you staring at a scaffolding?
Yeah.
Specifically a fancy one or one of the like wood ones?
It was one of the like, it was like wood and steel, and you know how they have sort of those like mesh, you know, encasings, I think, just so.
I think just because I'm thinking of like what you're writing about, and then, I don't know, have you seen the fancy scaffoldings that are like white with like lights on them?
Yeah, the ones in like Astor Place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that seems like it like wouldn't resonate at all with what you're writing about. You know what I mean?
No.
But I also really am thinking about how we use that a lot in, like, even, like, movement spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That term of, like, you know, like, making sure that we're kind of building up layers of, like, support networks and systems or, like, actions that then it can kind of, like, not fall upon itself.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that you mentioned, like, protest and resistance and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was something I think I've mentioned it. I mentioned it before, and I feel like a lot of the time, like, we see it, and, like, especially in the terms of, like, constructions, like, why is something always happening? Like, why are we always building?
I said that for a very long time when there was a scaffolding above my stoop.
Yeah, and just, like, why can't we slow down? And I think, I don't know what it was about last night, it was just like something about like being in that part of the city at night, and it just felt like there's no one there, and it was just sort of me and like the lights in these buildings, and it felt more conversational than like chaotic and like in your face and kind of just like, oh, like there's always so much shit happening here. But it was,
Do you feel that a lot as somebody that's like maybe not growing up in like, you know, the city
for sure? Yeah, when I first came here, I was like, this is too much, like way too much noise, too much light, too many smells, too many people.
Too many options for what to do every single day.
You know, like, people say they get, like, you know, paralyzed by options. You know, I know people who, they don't like big menus, and they don't, you know, like, choosing between, some people just don't like making decisions. I get it, because it feels like your choice is like, permanent, and that it, like, can't be undone. I think yes and no, like, yeah, you make your choice, but then, you know, you can make another choice after, like,
of choices.
Yeah, you know, and, like, we all fuck up, like, that's a part of it, and it's, yeah, I think I've just, like, really come to just, you just gotta just embrace it, you know? I like the poster you have above your bed.
Trust the process.
Trust the process, seriously.
I mean, I think even, like, when we met, it was, like, a very, you know, like, whimsical moment.
Yeah.
I think, like, dancing at this place. Yeah. And, I don't know, very, like, it doesn't surprise me, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to hear you say these things, given the way that I've very briefly seen you engage and interact with other people, where it makes sense to me. Like, I think, for example, like, I have a conception of self that's very much like, I'm not this like one identity that is formed and that I must abide by. It's more like, mm-hmm. yeah, like I'm a series of choices that I make every single day, and tomorrow I can make new ones if I want to,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll just be another person, you know, or like I'll still be me, but like I'll be a different version of me that like couldn't yeah. have existed yesterday. It strikes me that that's kind of on the same vein as what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's probably why we're drawn to
one. Yeah. So you wrote this last night.
I wrote that last night.
How often do you write?
I write every day.
Okay.
The extent to which and the length and, you know, it all varies. But one of my good friends, one of his teachers used to say, you know, like, how did it go? But you gotta walk your dog every day, and your dog can be
whatever you want it to be.
But like, I think at a certain point, you know, like, it's, I don't know, like art is work, and it can be a chore, and I think I was drawn to it at first because it almost felt like the antithesis of work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was drawn to art at first because I was like,
no rules, no
yeah,
boss.
Yeah. But within that, like you kind of have to like sort of, you know, build your own rules and build your own world because like you need some grounding and like you need, you know, something to hold on mm-hmm. to and I think something to, you know, strive toward, something to like, you know, seek or I don't know, like a direction. Like it all is very abstract, but at the same, like you can't be abstract all the time.
Well, I think about even like, you know, I was like trained a bit on the piano classically
mm-hmm.
when I was younger, and I think learned very much in a way that's like, first you learn it with the metronome, every note exactly how it's written,
mm-hmm.
right? You play it exactly like that, and once you know it perfectly, then you get to play around and do whatever the fuck you want with
mm-hmm.
it, and now you make it your piece, and like you slow the tempo down, you change some stuff up if you mm-hmm. want to, but being able to kind of have those structures down, I think, of like not necessarily being perfect at it in that way, because it's mm-hmm. not that, it's not piano in the sense of like it's not going to sound necessarily bad if you miss one note, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, it's interesting to think of, like I was thinking of like, how do you call yourself, even, you know, like do you call yourself a writer, a poet?
Yeah, this I in my most recent, I read at Palace Bar yeah. in Greenpoint a couple weeks ago, and I in my bio for that one, I wrote that I'm not an artist. And I think like part of it is just like it's playing around and like sort of just being like a cynic. But also I think it's thought provoking, because then people mm-hmm. are like, well, what are you, like,
right.
you know, you make art. Why are you not an artist?
Mm-hmm.
And also like some of it is just because like there are artists who I don't want to identify with, and I guess maybe I feel lumped in there sometimes. But I think it's like the name of my publication is called Don't Ask Me What I Write About.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily that I don't want people to ask me but I want, like, I want people to be, you know, curious and pine for not even like pine for, like I want them to, you know, sort of figure it out for them. Yeah, think about it first. You know, we always want like a summary and, mm-hmm. and answers.
To fit into like, will I be able to relate to it? Like, tell me right now if I'll be able to relate to it. What
yeah,
you write about.
Yeah.
You know, will I care about it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's because it's like I don't know what I write about. Life. I write about what I see and what I feel and people I meet and scaffolding and flowers and sex and heartbreak and...
And even in that poem, like, it wasn't just about this, you know? Yeah. It wasn't like, I love the wood of that scaffolding. It's like, yeah, all these things intertwined.
Yeah.
Into these thoughts that create.
Yeah. No, it's all just like a vessel for...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been writing?
I have been writing...
Even for yourself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've been... My parents used to, like, we would always get travel journals, mm-hmm, when we would go on vacation. You guys were right. wish I wrote in them a little bit, but, you know, you look back on some
today
of these.
We had clams.
Yeah, but then it, like, that's, you know, it sets habit. Off this whole,
yeah,
you know, like, explosion of other memories. Like, oh, I had clams at this place, and there was this cat that walked by, and then we started talking about cats, and then I got introduced to Cat Stevens, and it's just like, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
it sets off, like, this huge snowball effect. But so I've been writing, I guess, what you could maybe categorize as poetry, for myself, I would say, mm-hmm, for the last 3 years, like when I moved to New York. I took some poetry classes in school, which were definitely, like, helpful, and definitely, like, started pushing me in this direction. But school was always very constraining for me. And it's, you know, I'm grateful for a lot of the experiences I've had, but also it's just like, I wonder if, you know, maybe that just wasn't my way of learning. You know, talking about, like, you know, being classically trained on the piano, I feel like when I first discovered art, like, I like started with the abstract.
That's gonna be my next question, is like, what other forms of art do you touch and engage with, you know?
I take photos, I draw, I paint. I haven't painted in a while, and I actually just took my first vocal lesson.
Congratulations. How
thank
was
you. It was a lot of fun. It was very cathartic.
I mean, especially if you can get soothing, like, that like out loud poetry reading voice, like,
yeah,
today you're listening to
yeah, I got like Dylan Thomas.
But okay,
do not go gentle.
Do you want to show us another,
yeah,
another piece?
Yeah This one is called Imagine. There's music playing. Here's to the mosquitoes, there's the that. Vultures, the leeches, the scavengers, and those venomous, complacent participants in parasitic relationships. To those plastic, straw-nosed blood suckers born from hearts of darkness, pilferers and plunderers of soul, barons of mass-produced originality gone sour. You slurp and you suck to fill a cavernous hole. Drop the golden shovel. No one needs a golden shovel. You've littered my skin with piles of gravel. You've left me with nothing but my fingernails to till this ransacked land and pine for rare minerals. Here's to you, you viscous tycoons. You made an explorer out of me. Extinct career? My ass. Obsolete profession? On your windswept ice giant, maybe. For once, imagine there's music playing. Gadzooks, Bagorda, imagine there's music playing. The Southern Ocean laps the shores of my brain where scuba expeditions launch daily into the bellies of subglacial waters. Yes, I scour this solar system with aimless purpose. I rake the earth until its soils weep salty and red joy. I excavate the mud of deceased bards with analog tools. I surf the fractal webs of time with Chinese technology. I summit sunken hills of capsized civilizations preserved in nearsighted humor. I discover myself in every waking hour I step and sleep. I fertilize eroded horizons with sighs of anguish and vertical inhalations. I harvest evolutionarily tested seeds from finely sliced trees dyed yellow. I stretch my primal limbs for the sake of sore academia. I exercise a dying language so my children and I can share peace at the cloaked dining table. Here's to Sam's antics. His parts, his pieces, his processes, his procedures, his protocols, tireless and percussive. Here's to you. Scavenge and loot and pawn for your immortal days. Nourish your supplements with capsules. Plummet your popular balloons at far-gone fairs. Happily ever after.
Thanks, wow. Devin. I think you saw me just, like, react to that and like, yeah. Smile and laugh. No, I think that was a great, like, voice in both senses of the term, especially, like, not what I expected to hear after your last one. You started talking, I was like, oh, there's the radio voice. But no, I think something that I really liked in that is kind of, like, on one hand, I felt like I was getting lost in a sort of, like, Jules Verne novel.
I know the name, but
wait,
I don't.
I have to look up what it is in English. Okay, he did Journey to the Center of the Earth and Around the World in 80 Days, 20,000 Leagues Under the Seas.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a very, like, you know, these wonderful, fantastical, like, landscapes of, like, but also, like, these imaginary, like, underwater cities and all these, like, wonderful places. And then you're like, and I'm doing this with Chinese technology. No. And it's like I'm, like, getting pulled in this direction of, like, whimsy, and then I'm just, like, brought back to this, like, super immediate, like, present thing, which I thought was, like, really nice. Thank you for that journey.
My pleasure.
Please tell us a bit about this poem, when it comes from, where it comes from.
Where did that one?
Do you remember where you wrote it?
I'm trying to figure out where I started it. Yes, it started with, like, well, it was going to be, like, sort of a love letter to, you know, irritating things. And how I was just, like, thinking about mosquito bites, and I'm like, mosquitoes suck, but also, like, when I get a mosquito bite and I'm, like, itching it, it reminds me that, like, I have skin. Alive. I'm alive. Like, I have blood flowing through my body. And then, like, I don't know, they start to take on, like, mosquitoes and, you know, they start to take on personalities of, you know, people that I despise.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about people who sort of just, like, mooch off of other people's, like, you know, originality and creativity and trends, and you know, when you, like, I'm not on TikTok, and I try to, like, avoid Instagram as much as I can. I, like, have a app blocker on it, and I really just, like, try to use it for like, self-promotion, promoting my friends, also just, like, I saw this great picture of Vin Diesel, like, praying under the moon the other night. I'm like, this is hilarious. This is people awesome. Need to see this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just went on a tangent. But, yeah, like, just kind of, I don't know, like, calling people out for just, like, not being themselves and, like, feeling the need to, like, I don't know, wear black jeans because, like, everyone else is wearing black jeans, or, you know, just, like, do what you like because you like it, you know?
Yeah, and in this, like, narrative that's being, you know, spun, it's, like,
yeah,
very, like, they're the villains. You know, like, these people are very villainous and very, like, evil, and, I don't know, yeah, the way you're, like, addressing them is very like, yo, get your shit together, yo. Like, pick yourself up off the ground and do something with yourself.
Yeah, so I want to, like, it is, like, a call out, but also it's, like...
A call in.
But also, you know, I'm, like, I'm being... Like, it's all in jest, too, because, like, you can't take yourself that seriously.
It's humorous.
Yeah, it's, like, at the end of the day, it's not that deep, you know? We're literally floating on a rock in the middle of space.
And we all do it at times.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I fall victim to it, you know, probably several times a day. And, yeah, I don't know, it's cool that you brought up Jules Verne. I'm familiar with him, but I've never read any of his work. But I think, like, I like world building, and I like traveling. And also, like, I started thinking about, you know, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be, like, an explorer. You know, I would talk about that in school, but they'd be like, we found everything. And, like, more recently, I've been getting sort of back into it. Shout out Chili and Frozen Planet. Been watching a bunch of Frozen Planet. Yeah. I really want to go to Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I
won't see you there, but I wish you good luck.
I'll send you a postcard.
Yeah, thank you.
But
they,
like,
have mail?
Yeah, man. But thinking about, like, the mind as a frontier, you know, like, we use 10% of our brain. We don't know why, like we know we have, like, habit-forming tendencies, and we you know, act based on, like, memory and learned behaviors, but, like, there's still so much going on in there that, like, we don't understand. And I feel like also, like, my art is an act of exploration, you know, and, like, exploring myself and my relationship with people in the world. So that was definitely, like, another component of that.
I guess I'm thinking a lot about, I don't know, the things you're talking about are really, I hate this word, resonating with me. Like, can we,
no,
I wish they hadn't co-opted it into, like, these, like, you know, like, group circles in school and stuff, but, like, I don't know, very much relating to what you're saying in what I've been thinking about for this radio, also of, like, an exploration in how we're engaging with people and how we're having conversations, and yeah, even just, like, being able to, yeah, think about, like, conversations we're having in different ways, and truly think about, like, I'm not trying to look at, like, the listener count that much, or, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't, like, you know, we got this email that's like, your website is not optimized for the search engine, and, like, not as many people are finding your website as they could, and I'm like, I don't care, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a wonderful thing that, like, probably a lot of people you know are listening right now, and also some people you don't know. But all these people are probably either in the city. Honestly, we've had some people from, like, Hong Kong listening, like, you know, so you never know. But I think, yeah, it's definitely interesting to think about exploring and world building as an also way of, like, we've been talking about on other shows, of, like, radical imagination, you know, and just, like, imagining other worlds in a way that, like, it literally helps us build our communities to be better because we're imagining what could be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know where I want to go with this, but, like, I think the idea of a utopia is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not much of a utopian person because I do, like, I like some of my faults and I like other people's faults. And, you know, that's, like, how, I don't know, that's, like, just how you grow and how you change and, you know, how you explore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like radical imagination. That's a good term.
Thank you. I want to be mindful of time.
Yeah.
We have 15 minutes left.
Okay.
How many works left do you have to read for us?
I was just kind of gonna, I don't have a set.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to read us another one?
Yeah, sure. Oh, what should we do? Oh, actually, I know what I want to do. Oh yeah, this is a fun one. Yeah, let's do this one. This is called Impotent Methane Tea on the Ganges.
I'm excited already.
I wish all the plastic of the world would spontaneously combust into the farts of mystic cows. But those farts aren't poop particles. No. They smell like lavender and fresh cilantro and vanilla orchids and cedarwood. All in communication with the earth. None unrooted. Together and separate and one and all and none and none and none. And children are safe and comfortably warm with full bellies. The rivers are clean and the roosters sing fabled hymns all day and all night.
Do you consider your work to be political?
Everything's political, right?
I'm just thinking about how, like, a lot of this I've read similar, like, hope. Kind of, yeah, this, like, hope for this world in, like, very, like, yeah, we were talking about, like, abolitionist, like, science fiction the other day, or, like, abolitionist poetry, mm-hmm. and, who was the writer? I don't remember the writer we were talking about. But, yeah, a poem about, like, meet me at the tree that doesn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we have to gather here. We have to talk. And, ooh. You know, like,
yeah.
What this kind of meant of this, like, this gathering somewhere that is not yet.
Mm-hmm.
This strikes some... You know what I mean, I think?
Yeah, no, I hear... I think, like... I think there's, like... I think everything exists on a spectrum, and mm-hmm. like there's just nuance to everything. I don't think things are black and white, and you know, like, I don't know. This is a tough question, but a good question, because, like, okay, so for example, like, there are times where, like, I want to write, like, you know, politically, you know, pointed and, like, directed mm-hmm. things. Like, I wrote something a couple weeks ago about just, like, the heat, which is, like, very much about climate change and how that just affects everyone. Like, that's something that, like, none of us can avoid. And, like, you know, people can hide in their air-conditioned penthouses mm-hmm. for as long as they want, but it's like, you know, you step outside and you're still gonna feel it. And so, like, it was about just sort of like that shared experience, and then I, like, very pointedly was talking about, like, the statistics behind it, how, like, heat waves are now longer than they were before, they're more intense than they were before, how it affects you know, young children and the elderly, predominantly homeless and unhoused people, in, you know, like, hotspot regions, close to the equator, you know, countries that don't have a lot of infrastructure and resources, and then, you know, use that to also, like, bring awareness to, like, some nonprofits that
doing
helping those that, yeah. Yeah, so, like, Meals on Wheels in the States, Coalition for the Homeless, Water Aid, Doctors Without Borders, mm-hmm. Because I think, like, a lot of us feel this at times where it's like all of this horrendous shit is mm-hmm. happening, and it also all of this horrendous shit has been happening for the longest time, and, like, what am I doing about it?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, it it really gets to me a lot of the time. And I think, like, oh God, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Because
I guess I asked the question, not even in a more like, this strikes me as explicitly political work, as much as I'm thinking like, that dream in and of itself and the day we're living in is so inherently political. But I think, like I think your work has a lot of hope in it. From the things that you've been talking about and reading to us. It's funny because you said like part of not calling yourself an artist is like the cynic in you. But I don't really see the cynic much in the writing as much as, you know, that would
call for. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think that that's like, do you read your own writing and think like, oh, wow, like.
You know, honestly, not like I'll when I'm like putting it on Substack, I will like. Because I handwrite. So then I'll type it up and then I'll like throw a couple edits in when I'm. Rewriting it, and then when I'm like, you know, reading it for people, or on Moss Radio or whatever, then that's like when I read it. But I don't, I think it's, I've always been told that it's important to, you know, like revisit and reread your work. It's advice I have not listen to yet, so maybe I will start doing that more.
Do you find it nerve-wracking to do that?
I guess I'm like I'm kind of stir crazy sometimes, and I just I want to
put something out there.
I want to make something else. And yeah, I want to like, I want to build my portfolio. I want to be prolific, and you know, like my one of my prized possessions is I have Allen Ginsberg's collection of all of his poems. It's like the early 50s, maybe late 40s, but I think early 50s until like the late 90s, and it's just like the fattest thing. It's like 1,000+ pages. Thinnest paper I've ever seen in my life.
Protect it well.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I want one of these when I'm saying deuces. when I'm walking through the door to the next room.
To the next one. No, that makes sense. I think also I don't write poems as much, but I sometimes do write songs. And I think there are definitely ones that I've written in like an hour and I never come back to, and that's just the song forever. And then there's ones that like, you know, even years later I'll come back and like look at a lyric that I wrote and think like, like that's not exactly what I want it to be anymore. You know, I think there's a lot to like sometimes also rereading, not immediately, not right after, but like as time goes on and making works not fluid but like moldable, you know what I mean? Do you ever find yourself going back on things you've written and maybe not even rewriting it, but thinking about it in different ways than, you know, you would initially wrote it to be?
Yeah, I think like the second one I read, I think that's an example of like, you know, I had envisioned it being, you know, sort of this other, like talking about, you know, irritants and like frustrating things and that sort of like being a reminder of like your like vitality and your life and like your energy and existence and stuff like that. And then it like totally morphed into this other thing. And there are times where like one of my favorite poems that I've written, I wrote like the first three lines for it one day at work, and then went home to write and just couldn't, like, I didn't have anything, but I was like, this is really good. Yeah. I don't know what it is yet, but like this one's got some weight to it. Yeah. And then, you know, then at work I would tinker with it a little bit. And then it was like a week later, all of a sudden it was just like, here it is. And it just kind of like tapped me on the shoulder.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a very present internal monologue? Like, you know, are these thoughts kind of coming to you in your head as sentences and then you're writing them down, or like you're hearing the words almost, or like, you know, or is it really just like what, once you touch the paper, that's when it flows?
They kind of just appear. Mm-hmm. I used to be like really like self-conscious about that. I'm like, why do I not have like an internal monologue? And like sometimes people would like, you know, I'd be with someone and I'd be just kind of like staring off, and they're mm-hmm. like, what are you thinking about? Like,
nothing.
And you know, I think it's like, it's there. It's like, you know, we all dream, but sometimes you don't remember your dream. Yeah. So it's like, I think I'm always thinking, but I think I also just like I've become a much more present person in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I like, you know, I hate phones at dinner. I hate phones in conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, I just like, I want to show the person that I'm with, like the respect that they deserve. And I want, you know, like I'm here, and sort of like the same thing with, it's hard in the city because there's just like everyone yeah. and everything is vying for your attention.
Yeah.
You know, and I've, especially like with my new job, I kind of like have to be on my phone a little bit more, and I find myself just on it sometimes, when I don't want to, but I lost myself, but,
no, you're good.
I think there's something to be said for like, you know, putting in the work, so that like inspiration comes to you, but also like not distracting yourself too much with the work so that the inspiration can find you. Like it's, there's a middle ground, I think, of like giving and receiving when it comes to creation.
Also because the work has to come from somewhere.
Yeah. You know, like people,
if you're not living, you know, then what are you writing about?
Yeah. You know, like people, you know, Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen and a whole myriad of people, you know, they're like, where do those songs come from? And they're like, I don't know, man.
it's
true. Like,
I will say I wouldn't know, because every time I've seen Bob Dylan live, could I understand a word he was saying. In fact, in the last 5 years, let me just say, it's been a muttering situation out here.
That early stuff, though, that came from somewhere. I mean, look, Cameron Winter is a great example right now. Like, he's my, I think, like, he's become, like, one of my biggest, just, like, inspirations and just, like, someone to just admire and, and enjoy. And I think a lot of it is, you know, you just kind of, like, just sort of, you know, trying to get the water out of your ear, and you're just like getting all this stuff out, and then all of a sudden you kind of just like, you get this stream of, I don't even know what, I don't know where it comes from, but like, yeah, there's this great, this interviewer asked Leonard Cohen once, you know, where do great songs come from? And he said, I don't know, I'd probably be hanging out there more if I knew.
Like that. Yeah. Well, we have a minute left, and I kind of had a question for you as an ending. If you could choose one place or, like, type of place, like, think, like, could be a tombstone, could be the what's written outside of the Columbia, you know, how it's engraved into the buildings, one or two lines of something you've written, where would it be and what lines would it be?
Oh. Whoa. Shit question. Damn, dude.
Don't worry. This will not be a reality. Don't worry. Yeah. This is not your final answer. I'm not about to go grave it in myself.
It's like, oh god. I wanted to be something in nature, but I wouldn't want to, like, you know, I wouldn't want to, like, carve into a tree or something.
What
like
if we could plant so many trees from above, it would come out as the sentence?
Yeah, I'm imagining, like, the bark, like, growing in the form of letters or, like, moss or something like that. It's something like that. Like, when I pass, I want to, like, be buried with a seed, like at the foot of a dead tree.
I hope you don't make fruit, because I'm not eating that. but I hope you grow.
Some sort of natural. Dude, what words? I don't know.
That is. Let me make it easier for you.
Yeah.
From what you've read us today.
From what I've read today. There's music playing. Yeah.
And that's how we'll leave you all. There's music playing.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, if you want to sign off.
My absolute pleasure, DJ Croak. I would like to do this again.
Yes, we would love to have you again.
This was lovely.
And as you keep writing, you will keep coming on. All right, everybody. You've been listening to Moss Radio on mossradio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed. This has been DJ Croak and Magnus John Mati Vogel. And do you want to say where you can find your work? Or?
Oh, yeah, sure. My Substack is called Don't Ask Me What I Write About. My name on there is Magnus John Mati Vogel, but John is spelled J-A-W-N. Don't ask me why, I forgot. And I'm not gonna give my Instagrams.
And there you go. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day. And as always, if you're driving, drive safe. Bye-bye.